The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I want to have everybody out there fess up. How many of you thought we'd take this week off after what happened in the market?
Yeah.
I'll bet there were some.
Nope. Actually, I was looking forward to getting in today because there is so much to talk about.
There is indeed. It's no surprise to anyone listening here, unless you're just surprised because you're on the radio right now, a station that you don't normally listen to at 10, which, of course, should become a habit, but that's another story. You have to know by now that the word carnage is probably what's going to come out of most people's mouths for this week. There's a lot more to it than that. But before we get to it, we have on the phone Captain Dave.
Hey, Mrs. Lincoln. Other than that, how was the play?
Just great. I enjoyed the third act especially.
All right, 14%. I'm starting to think this is a buy.
Well, I think if you hang around the show a little while, you're probably going to hear that word quite a bit today.
Oh, yep. Great.
Maybe that's not great. Yet.
There are ETFs that track the Dow and NASDAQ, and there's a few of them. Would you mind sometime giving a suggestion of which of those trackers would be the best one to get in?
We will do that today because there's various ways to do it. You can do the regular weighting. You can do equal weighting. You can do different indices, small cap. You can do a broad market. There are all kinds of ways to do it. And yes, and I think because of the way this happened, everything got hit except maybe a couple of biotech companies that they're hanging their hat on. But pretty much everything got hit. So the general market is down. What better way to get back in than use the general market index, right?
Yeah. Well, remember what we had that discussion once about Marshall McLuhan?
Uh-huh.
The media's message. Yep. Boy, ain't that what happened.
It certainly is. And when you get the combination of the willing opposition, the Democrats, and the willing media, they can create a lot of havoc among the investing public. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, now that the neural net's so big and so fast.
Yeah. Well, it was bigger and faster. You think about it, it wasn't faster. It was bigger, a little longer than we've seen so far. But go back and look at December of 18, and it's pretty astounding what happened right there.
Well, actually, I was talking about the neural network that we now have called whatever it is, mm-hmm. the internet, all, but that feedback loop starts within 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them picks up Thursday at noon or whatever time. And the same thing happened yesterday, which we'll talk about in a minute, toward the close.
Well, I won't take up any more of your time.
No problem. But yes, we will incorporate some of these little market index ETFs and explain why they're so good.
Fantastic.
Great idea.
Talk to you later, friends.
Thanks, David.
There were seven stocks that were kind of spared from the carnage this week.
Seven. Yeah. They were all working on the virus.
Interestingly,
or whatever.
There were two biotech stocks, okay. Two banks or investment companies. No, really? Three of those. Oh. One precious metals mining company and Clorox. Go figure.
Clorox. Yeah. I heard somebody talking about that earlier in the week. I thought, now that's clever. Gotta love it.
So, yeah, it was, anyways, what a week. Fear, fear, fear is the headline and the story, and everyone was selling, and it was across the board outside of seven stocks. Every stock in the S&P was down. It just madness. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It was 1,000-point down days on top of 1,000-point down days.
What was your major clue that this was all ridiculous?
There were several. I think late in the week, we saw buying going into the close on Friday. In fact, the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ ended up gaining a fraction of a point on Friday afternoon. So that was interesting.
Wasn't it?
Gold sold off on Thursday and
That's
Friday.
That's my number one.
Yeah.
You know that this is not a typical panic. In a panic, you sell stocks and buy gold. They were selling stocks and selling gold for the last 2 days. That tells me they've got cash sitting there and they're ready to pounce.
I mean, call it a feeling, whatever you will. It feels like there's a ton of cash sitting on the sidelines, although a ton of that cash did pour into treasuries this week.
I have a trivia question on that.
Okay, perfect. The you could tell by the yields just being driven down to the record lows. The 10-year is actually at a record low, right? I believe right now.
Yeah. Broke 1.2.
Yeah, which is just absolutely nuts. I mean, there's
that's an investment I'm not making.
Yeah, for 10 years, you're going to get 1.2%.
7% or whatever it is?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'd rather take my chances on a 1.5% CD.
Yeah, exactly. I would too. It's almost irrational at this point, but people are really scared, and the news has done a great job of pointing out all the scary stuff, which is real. I mean, I don't want to take away from that, but it is not real to the point where the world is coming to an end. That is not what's happening here.
If the response is not proportionate to the input, you're out of balance.
Yep.
But as we say, remember, the market always overshoots.
That's true.
No matter what it's doing, it overshoots.
Our favorite investment research group has this morning, I was reading through their weekly summary, and they were saying that the market has almost priced in the worst case scenario, which it, according to them, would involve half of the U.S. population getting the disease, 3 million people dying.
It'd be almost as bad as gun violence.
Not quite that bad. But it's pricing in that type of scenario, and I have a hard time believing if China looks to be getting this thing under control, China, of all places, I think that we can certainly get it under control.
A lot more to worry about in Iran than there is in China.
Yeah, Iran is the one that really scares me. Their death rate is off the charts, which to me says that they're underreporting cases by a pretty wide margin. And so we don't really know how many cases are in Iran, but their death rate right now is just,
God, several
I can't
times
even remember.
What
yeah,
any
it's
other
way, way too high. And if you look at the breakdown of deaths, this is pretty morbid, but deaths by age group, it's really skewed towards the elderly and then also people with pre-existing conditions that make them more vulnerable to these types of respiratory diseases. So there hasn't been anyone under 10 and no kids from what I've seen have actually died from the disease.
I haven't heard of one.
No, I have. I was looking at it this morning. I couldn't find any cases of that happening. There's 64 cases in the U.S. as of this morning, or there has been. Seven have actually now recovered from the disease already. Mexico and Canada have not been hit hard yet. Canada has 15 cases, 6 recoveries, no deaths. And Mexico has just 2 confirmed cases that are both active, no recoveries, no deaths. So nothing in Central America or the Caribbean at this point. So right now, that we're pretty insulated right now. Keep your fingers crossed.
Gee, if only Vice President Pence were some kind of a high-powered business person or executive, since he's running this thing. I can't believe that the things that are being said politically on the other side of this are so destructive to getting anything accomplished in this whole thing. It defies the imagination how absolutely ugly the politics are in this election year, and it's not helping anything. The market will see through that eventually and do what it's going to do. We're going to talk more about that after the break, and I mentioned I have a trivia question that is about this whole thing, and there's a why for it, of course. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I sort of slipped over that part where I wanted to welcome everybody again today. And thank you, especially the longtime listeners. It's very important that you're always around. That's what keeps us moving. And if you're new to the show, you will always learn something. That's our one promise we'll make to you. Maybe in some cases something you didn't want to know, but knowledge is power, and power is everything when you're in a time period like this in the market where common sense is anything but common, it seems. We do have a trivia question today, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Adam mentioned that money is flying out of the markets, which we know, and it's going into essentially two places. It had been going into gold and other commodities and safe havens, but it isn't anymore. But it is going into safety as defined by people who believe that U.S. Treasury bonds are the safest investments in the world. They're defined by the financial industry as zero risk. Well, I have a trivia question about the risk of treasuries, and it's very simple. Most of you probably understand there's a relationship between the price of a bond and the interest rate, market interest rate. And that relationship is best described as a teeter-totter, where as one goes up, Say the price of the bond rises, the other goes down. That's the yield or the interest rate. It works the other way around, too. Right now, the money flowing into treasuries has created demand. What happens when demand rises and the supply stays the same? The price goes up. It's economics 101. So the prices of bonds have been falling, and conversely, the teeter-totter is going down on the other side, and the yields are falling. Well, as market interest rates change in either direction, so do the market prices of those bonds. How much they change is a function of something very simple, the time between today and their maturity. You hear about 30 days and 90 days and 1 year and 2 years and 5 years and 10 years and 20 and so on. It makes a very big difference. Now, here's the frame up of the question. A 1% rise in interest rates causes a 2-year bond, and by when I say bond, I'm talking about your basic $1,000 bond now for the purposes of this question. A 1% rise in rates causes a 2-year bond to fall by $18. How far would a 20-year $1,000 bond fall with the same rate change? How many dollars would it fall? The little one, $18. The bigger one, more than that. I'll just give you a clue. All right. I want to do a little more on the market, and we'll try to get into something more fun.
I do. I thought this was a little bit interesting. Stocks fell about 12% in the last 6 trading days. It's the fastest ever drop from an all-time high, not the fastest ever drop ever.
Right.
There have been periods where the market has fallen faster.
Yeah, Mama said there'd be days like this.
There's very few stocks in the S&P 500 trading above their 50-day moving averages at this point, whereas last week there was a significant amount of stocks trading above their 50-day moving averages.
That kind of brings us around to Captain Dave's point, the word buy.
Yeah, definitely. That starts to make things look very attractive. In fact, I found some interesting yields in the S&P 500.
Oh, I bet you could.
Ford is trading at is yielding 8.6% right now. ExxonMobil at almost 7%. Kraft Heinz around 6.5%. AT&T just under 6%. That is not to say there couldn't be further downside to all of these stocks, but Ford at 8.6%, that's ridiculous. That's like a...
That's crazy.
It's like... I don't even know. They're saying they're going out of business any day now.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is the case.
No.
Let's see what else. Oh, the last time the VIX spiked to this level was in 2011. What event in 2011 caused that?
Let's see. What happened in 11?
And it has to do with treasuries in a way. We got downgraded. Our debt got downgraded.
That was the first time, wasn't
it?
Yeah, you're right.
First time ever the U.S. debt got downgraded.
It caused
this level of trading volumes and this level of volatility. So that was the last time we've seen something like this week.
It's
been quite a while.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. There was some good news out there as well, most of it on the economic front. Housing looking great.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
January was definitely not an exception. New single-family home sales increased almost 8% and are now up almost 19% from a year ago.
And think of all those buyers out there right now that are getting their rate locks, and they get to closing, and it's even lower than their rate lock was.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, how nice is that?
The prices are up 11% during that same one-year period. Personal income also took a big jump last month, increased by 0.6%. It didn't translate into the same amount of new spending. That only rose 0.2%. So my question is...
I don't think you spend it before you... Oh, wait. Americans do.
We always do.
Yeah.
It looks like maybe we saved it. I mean, I hate to even guess that. But we finally got the final numbers from earnings season, more or less. There's still a few companies hanging out there, I believe. But fourth quarter was really strong. 65% of companies beat on earnings and 62% beat on revenue. So both
solid numbers.
Solid numbers. Yeah. Not record shattering or anything like that, but it's very solid earnings season in the fourth quarter. So there's still not a lot out there besides the virus and a little bit of politics that would would really rattle this market. But man, did that virus do a good job of just that.
Yes, and I would be the first to sit here and admit to the world that we were wrong a couple weeks ago.
No doubt about it.
Our forecast was right and our prediction was wrong. I remind people all the time what a forecast is. A forecast is the range of everything that could happen, 100% of possibilities. That is a forecast. A prediction is pick one. Here's what you think is going to happen.
Right.
We said it could cause a correction in the market.
Yep.
We also said that in our opinion it wouldn't. So that was our prediction. We were wrong.
We did not have the benefit of all the information that came on Sunday, actually, when the new cases right. outside the mainland China really started to spike. And that's what triggered the sell-off on Monday.
And even last weekend, there, despite having a day and a half of selling in the market, it was still a very normal week. There's yeah. nothing about it that it would nothing. Raise any eyebrows.
No.
But we had no idea that, well, first off, that a lot of this information would come out, and second, that it would be received so poorly. And I can't really blame people, but there's going to be a lot of brokenhearted people when they find out that they didn't get back in time.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit more about the virus. 7,000, nearly 7,000 people, not quite, were diagnosed this week as of this morning when I pulled the data with new cases. A lot of those were outside of China. In fact, the majority of those were outside of China. 16,000 people actually recovered from the virus this week, and that was mainly in China. So the growth rate in China is very, very low at this rate. And actually, the net new cases in China is declining pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. The growth rate outside of China is expanding still, and the recovery rate outside of China has not been expanding because there just hasn't been that many cases that were active for long enough to recover. So that's really the number to watch, is the how China's numbers go down, and are they able to get this thing down where they are just seeing a handful of new cases a week? And then the growth rate outside of China is the other thing to watch, specifically South Korea, Italy, and even Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are the countries to really keep an eye on. And of course, the U.S., just in your own self-interest.
Right. Something else I'll remind people of, since Christmas Eve of 2018, 14 months ago, stockholders made $10.9 trillion. In the last 2 weeks, they've given back $4.6. That means that in those 14 months, we have pocketed $6.3 trillion, which is almost half a trillion a month. So
pretty good.
Let's not be crying crocodile tears for each other just yet.
Not too hard, but yeah, it hurt. It really hurt this week.
Yeah, it did. It's not fun. Adam and I watched the market close for the last 15, 20 minutes yesterday afternoon, and we knew one of two things was going to happen.
Yeah, the opposite of what I expected to happen happened, which is good news because I really thought you'd see a steep sell-off into the close.
Similar to the couple days
Friday.
Before. Three days before.
Just because that's been the trend lately anyway on Friday afternoons. People have not wanted to hold the stocks over the weekend.
But in this case, it was jumping 100 points a minute for a while.
I mean, it was really rising in the last 2 minutes.
And to put a green number on the NASDAQ for the day after being down 1,085 points, the Dow being down 1,085 points, that to me felt really good.
It did.
So I think it's over. Will it be over Monday? I don't know. Will it be over Tuesday? I have no idea. Will it even be over next week? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, we're a week closer to it than we were a week ago.
Yep. And year to date, the NASDAQ is only down 4.5%
mm-hmm.
year to date.
And
so
it can make that up in a week.
It could.
And
we'll
in fact,
see.
Typically, after a spell like this, you would see the next 3 months be up on average 5.6%. And that would bring us back into a reality check anyway. So I'm not as discouraged as people would think, and I certainly have not done any selling. I'm not getting caught up in this whirlwind, and I don't think anybody should in any way, shape, or form. It's just craziness. Ride it out. It will pass. It always does. That's how we got where we are today from where we were whatever number of years ago. All right, we'll get into some more fun things right after the break. We've got to pay a few bills, so don't go anywhere. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The U.S. and the Taliban have signed a peace accord. It's aimed at ending the 18-year war in Afghanistan, this country's longest ever. The signing could also help President Trump fulfill a key campaign promise. He said he would extract America from what he called its endless wars. The polls are opening across South Carolina today as Democrats make their selections in the state's presidential primary. Voting will be open until 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight throughout the state. There are a dozen candidates on the ballot, even though by now some of them have actually dropped out of the race. Former Vice President Joe Biden has expressed confidence he can pick up a victory in South Carolina. It's a state where he has long relationships and has led in some recent polls. That would give him some momentum on Bernie Sanders as they head into the Super Tuesday primary, with Sanders expected to emerge victorious. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 357 points. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We were asked a question the other day about a store's reputation and how a customer might judge that. The first thing that came to mind was to look at how long they've been in business. Because if a store or a person is disreputable, that word will get out fast and that business won't be around very long. The second thing that comes to mind for jewelry stores, if the store has been in business a long time, there'll be a lot of folks in the area wearing jewelry from that establishment. And if they sell fine jewelry, you can best bet that those pieces have been shown thousands of times and probably passed down from one generation to the next, and a lot of people have been told where that piece came from. At Underwoods, it's our stated goal to be the best jeweler in the South, not the biggest, so everything we do and carry has to move us towards that goal. And ultimately, it's satisfied customers wearing our jewelry that have kept Underwoods in business since 1928. So come by and see us in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly sunny through Tuesday with a high 65 all weekend long, 75 on Monday, and up to 80 by Tuesday. Looking for mostly clear nights all weekend with a low tonight near 40. Low Sunday night 47 and a low Monday night of 56 degrees.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And before we pick up the line, I want to remind everybody what the trivia question is. A 1% rise in interest rates causes a two-year $1,000 bond to fall in price by $18. How far would a 20-year $1,000 bond fall with the same 1% change? And that number will be in dollars. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Adam and Steve. How are you doing?
We're fine. How are you today? What's left of you?
I'm not going to rub it in about falling in 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. You
We're
earned
grown-ups.
It. You earned it.
You know, I'm actually calling because, you know, I made some money on some spider puts, although I'm killing myself for getting out too soon.
Yeah, never do that. You've got a radio on or something?
It was so hard to not take profits, you know, when you're up big on puts. You know, I've never seen anything like it where the market just dives like a submarine.
Nope.
You know?
We haven't either.
You know? But calling about two, you know, a theme that Josh Brown and Kramer have been talking about lately, which is the two stocks that I'm most interested in, and that I made money on Zoom Video, symbol ZM, and every time I buy the dip, I make money. I'm in it now. They report on Wednesday, and I think it's going to be a blowout quarter like Teladoc was last Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm looking to get into Teladoc because I think this remote work from home or remote talk to a doctor theme is going to be around for a while.
It's hard to argue those things.
I completely agree. My wife works for an EMR company, electronic medical records, and their big push right now is in telemedicine. So I think that, and I'm hearing that more and more. So I do think you're right about that.
If you have to be the kind of person as you are, the risk on type that doesn't mind dabbling in the individual stocks. Otherwise, you'd look for the industry that these things are in, and the concept is still good. Just spread your risk around. But if you're looking to make a big hit on something, don't be afraid to take some money and run. You know, don't get too greedy, because if you wait too long on an individual, you're always going to see it roll over on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happened to me yesterday on Zoom. We had a blow-off top island reversal at the open, and it's always a bad thing when it gaps up to an all-time high at the open, because then the short sellers come in like flies to honey. And that's what happened yesterday, but I'm still in it because I think it's going to go higher right up until the earnings. And I just believe in the theme, the long-term theme of remote, you know, and I'm looking to buy Monday in a Teladoc because we got a nice gift. The profit takers came in on Teladoc yesterday, and I'm looking to get in around 115 or 120 if it'll drop back that bit. But I just like the theme of what they, you know, particularly Josh Brown and Kramer have been talking about this.
Well, almost everybody knows somebody who has been sort of reassigned to working out of their home. The telecommuting thing, imagine how much money it's saving people, how much time, how much pollution. It just makes so much sense. Even if you go to an office once or twice a week to be with the people, you still have a much better situation by being at home working, most people.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Josh Brown said that the Teladoc, when they reported their earnings, they didn't even talk about the benefits of the coronavirus. Now they are having an analyst meeting on Thursday, so I think the stock will be just fine because of the, you know, it's a long term. To me, this theme of remote reminds me of the cloud 5 years ago.
Yep, can't argue that either.
Yeah. But anyway, right, I know on. You can't comment on individual stocks.
No, I don't know enough.
Yeah.
But I like your concept. I'm always interested in how and what people are thinking. And that's much more important to me than exactly how they want to get in or stay out of those things. I just like the process of the thinking. And we have a very thinking crowd listening to this show. I'm always glad to have people share their thoughts because a lot of it makes a lot of sense. Did you want to take a shot at the trivia before you go?
Oh, my. I have no idea. Can you repeat that?
Sure.
Question?
If a 1% rise in interest rate causes a 2-year bond to drop $18, How much will a 20-year $1,000 bond drop in dollars?
God, I have no idea. I'll just say 50.
All right, you are considerably low.
Okay.
But the bracket's better now. It's 50 and up instead of 18 and up. We appreciate it. Let us know.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Let us know if you make a big hit on that stuff.
Okay, I'll be in touch soon.
All right, thanks. You good?
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that whole telecommuting thing is a world.
Oh, yeah, it's such a big trend right now. I'm seeing it personally, it's just every industry is looking at how to cut costs and getting rid of physical
locations.
Yeah,
bricks and mortar, man.
Yeah, it really is the way to go.
Think about that. It's one of the things that's hurting the car companies, too.
No doubt about it.
The replacement cycle on your car, if you're commuting through heavy traffic and then you don't commute anymore from heavy traffic, your replacement cycle has just gone up astronomically.
The other thing hurting the car industry, in my opinion, is their prices. Because holy cow,
man.
I know I sound so old right now, but prices of new cars it's absolutely insane. I don't even know how people can afford it. It is so easy to get to $1,000 a month payment, even with a good down payment these days. How do you afford that?
And that's not a Maserati or anything.
No, that's on an average pickup truck or a nice sedan.
I'm flabbergasted every time I look at a sticker price anymore.
Yeah.
Why my car will turn 10 and my wife's car is old enough to drink legally. It just turned 21.
And as I said the other day, I own a car that is, it's not old enough to drink legally, but it's probably out trying to catch a few beers on the side.
It's got a fake ID.
Yeah, with your car.
It's funny. Well, you know, to each his own. I know I used to love new cars all the time. Now I don't anymore. The world changed and I changed and they're no longer compatible. That's a big thing. Okay, I am going to do something I very seldom, if ever, do. I'm going to quote Warren Buffett. Now, as I've said for years, I don't really like the man very much because I don't like people telling me that everything I work for should be given away later and that I should pay a higher tax rate and all those things that Buffett believes, which is easy when you're the richest man in the world or in the top handful. But I digress. I'm going to quote him because he is spot on this week. He said, and I quote Warren Buffett on the coronavirus fears, quote, "I won't be selling stocks." Boom. You don't have to say any more words than that to understand just how sensible this guy is. You'll read these articles with the headlines about Buffett. Stock market could drop 50%. And he's right. It did it in our lifetime. It could do it again. But then if you read the entire article, what he says is, but don't do anything about it until it's really low and then buy.
Yep.
For you young kids out there, and by young kids I mean people Adam's age and younger, who are contributing steadily to 401ks and IRAs, just get your money in there fast and buy as many as you can. They are on super sale this week. Might be again next week. Don't even run a thought through your mind about ceasing your contributions and buying or pulling out. If you're 45 or younger, that means you got way more time on your side than people like me and some others.
There's only really one group of people that should be worried right now, and that would be a group that is either near retirement or in retirement and had 100% stock portfolio, which you should never have done in the first place.
That
so
is very true.
If you are nearing retirement or in retirement and you have some combination of stocks and bonds and other assets and are well diversified, you shouldn't even worry about this because it will pass. It really will. And that's what we've been telling our clients, and that is what gets you through these really difficult periods.
Mm-hmm. I'll have a few seconds here. I don't always like to pick on the same people all the time, but Wells Fargo seems to deserve it. Their latest fine is $35 million because their brokers were selling inverse ETFs to older people, which are completely unsuitable investments. Folks, you just don't use the brokerage industry. What can I tell you? You got to have a fiduciary if you're going to listen to anybody. All right, we'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question from First Coast Alarm is still out there. A 1% rise in interest rates causes a 2-year bond to fall by $18. How far would a 20-year bond fall in price with the same net change? And we know it's above $50. And I do have a point. I want to wrap up my comments on Warren Buffett, which are unusually kind and such today, but it's because he's so darn good at what he does. Berkshire Hathaway last year reported a profit of $24 billion. They sent $3.6 billion to the IRS, which is 1.5% of all the corporate taxes paid by Americans.
It's a lot of money.
But it's a lot of money, and it's a big percent for a single company, isn't it? Incredible. His effective tax rate, meaning the money paid in over the profit, was 15%, which means they have some very clever lawyers and accountants doing the work and making sure that they take advantage of our tax code in every way, shape, or form, because you can bet your last nickel on one thing. He's honest.
It's just so ironic, though, that he's so on one hand, he's paying all these accountants and, mm-hmm. and lawyers to help him millions. Lower his corporate tax rate. Yep. And so he's providing plenty of jobs just to do that. And then he turns around and complains that the tax rate is too low.
Yeah.
What?
See, that, I mean, that's why I have to draw the line between being personally opposed to him and admiring the heck out of what he does.
I'm in the same boat. That's so annoying. It's to me, that's just virtue signaling, saying, oh, I'm such a great person. I think Absolutely. That we should give more money to the government. Well, at the same time, paying people to lower what you have to pay to the government, it's completely dishonest. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It really frustrates me.
Yeah. Well, Captain Dave asked early in the show if we could give out some indices or exchange-traded funds that do nothing more than mimic the market index that they're tied to, and said we would. Why would you want to do this? Well, we all kind of measure the market by the changes in the indices, right? It's not a bad idea to own that index, but an index itself is only a number. But an index share translates that number into actual equities by purchasing the actual underlying stocks in the index at the exact proportion that the index holds them. So what happens is if it moves up 5%, so does your ETF, minus the tiny, tiny little cost of running the thing. Well, the first thing I look for when I'm looking for an index share is the internal cost. It's as low as humanly possible. Some are free, not free, but there's some little ones like this Schwab Small Cap that actually has a reverse cost to it.
Yeah, they get that by loaning out their some of their shares to for other people to write options on.
What are we paying now, 0.1, 0.2 average?
As far as total cost of a portfolio?
Let's say the SPY.
I don't know specifically what SPY is, but yeah, it's not unusual to see an ETF charge just a few basis points to
It's really cheap to own these folks, and they're also extremely tax efficient. You look at it compared to a mutual fund, and they're really tax efficient. We love them. If you want to emulate the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the most common one's probably DIA, stands for Diamonds, the Dow Diamonds. If you want to emulate the S&P 500, the most common one is SPY, which is the S&P Standard & Poor's 500 Index Share.
That is the largest ETF
In the world.
In terms of a number of dollars of assets. And it's also one of the most heavily traded, so it's extremely easy to buy and sell it at the current price.
Yeah, there's always a buyer if one out. And if you want to emulate the big part of the NASDAQ, the 100 big, the QQQ is the most common, always, well, sometimes we're referred to as the cubes or the Qs or whatever by people. And then we have one that we particularly like because it's the broad market index. Yep. And I'm going to let Adam tell you a little bit about that one. We have started using it in the last many months because we like the concept of being exposed to the small and the medium and the large without having to worry about proportions and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. The theory behind that is that it's a lot easier to double the size of a small company than it is of a large company. So over time, you will see the small cap index should outperform SPY. Now, that hasn't been the case in the last few years just because the S&P 500 has performed so well and small and mid caps have lagged. But one thing about seeing outperformance like that in one sector that isn't historically normal is that eventually you probably will see that reverse. And whether that means small and mid caps outperform the S&P 500 or S&P 500 doesn't do as well as they do, either way, you're going to see that many times you will see that revert to a more of a mean, and we like owning that portion of the market. So SPTM is the ETF that we use. There's others as well that are equally as good. VTI is a very popular
Vanguard has option. A very nice group of the ETFs.
They do.
Very inexpensive, and you know you can trust them.
Yep. Schwab is another one. Yep. SCHB is their broad market index. So there are a lot of ways to own it, but that's one of our biggest holdings, and it was a lot bigger last week. But
and it wasn't because we sold.
No. But that's a way to own more than just the 500 largest stocks in America, because there's there's a ton more stocks than just those 500. They just get all the press for whatever reason. And really the top 30, which are in the Dow, get all the press. And then everything else is kind of an afterthought. So,
and I can't count the number of times you have discussed on the show what a virtually useless indicator of the market the Dow can be.
I hate
sometimes.
It so much. Yep. I really do. It's absolutely worthless.
Look what happens when you get a Boeing.
Yeah.
And they have a little problem, and bang, your whole index share comes tumbling down. Whereas if you own the SBTM, it's going to be a little blip.
Yeah, you won't even notice it.
No.
But the Dow, just the price weighting itself is antiquated
crazy.
Form of weighting, and it makes no sense if you really look into it. It incentivizes you to do things that are against your own best interest. So,
but we've been doing it this way for so long, and the numbers are big, and they're variable, and it makes for flashy news. So,
of course, on Friday we're watching the close, and we're talking about the Dow. It's so ingrained in the culture and what we're used to when we talk points moving that it's hard to get away from. But I do hate it.
It's better for discussion than for ownership, in my
no doubt about
opinion.
It. I don't think we have a single share of DIA, or if we do, it's very little.
The wave of the future is going to be more broad market indexing. I see a lot of people getting on that bandwagon now. And especially for people like us that have to emphasize diversification, because we can't either let or suggest or force a client to take undue amounts of risk. And the best way to mitigate risk is diversification.
Right.
Always has been. Always will be.
It certainly didn't feel like it this week, but I guarantee that an all-stock portfolio could potentially have done a lot worse than what the broad market did this week.
All right, all you crypto types out there, if you love cryptocurrency and you have an account, Coinbase has 35 million customer accounts, and the number of taxpayers reporting crypto trades was, until recently, in the hundreds. My first comment, it was probably goes back a couple of years right on the show, was watch out for the IRS. Well, they're here. The new Form 1040 demands that taxpayers say whether or not they own any virtual currencies. The yes-no question parallels the one that was implemented years ago on offshore investment accounts and led to nasty treatment of people who lied. So if you have a crypto account and it is 1040 season right now, you better well disclose it. Funny thing about Bitcoin, it looks like it's money, but IRS doesn't treat it like a currency. It doesn't treat it like a security either. And there's just more to know than, first off, there's a lot more to know than I know. There's a lot more to know than you know unless you're really, really into it. But don't hide crypto from the IRS. That is fair warning.
And Bitcoin actually dropped along with the market about 11% this week. So it was not a safe haven as it was some thought it would be.
All right. A 2-year bond drops $18. A 20-year bond falls $107 with a 1-point increase. What's going to happen when this outrageous overdemand for Treasury bills goes away? And because the demand is lessening, the price of the bills is falling, which means interest rates are going up. So if you're holding other treasuries and you're not one of these people who just hid a bunch of money in there, you're going to experience some pretty good gain, or pretty good loss, I should say, on the price of this thing. So anybody who parked money in there as a way to make money is going to give it all back. Just watch. I'll see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.